ich fühle deine Nähe. Ich möchte deine Atem trinken und beten diese Füße sinken.
Alfie Boo, wowing them just across the road from the Royal Albert Hall in Hyde Park. The BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Richard Balcombe and Franz Lehaz. You are my heart's delight from Land of Smiles. I think I heard Alfie shouting, how are you doing, in the middle of that? I hope that was a permitted rest, Alfie. Very cheeky he is. He sort of left the world of opera, and I'm glad he's coming back to Lehaz. Maybe he'll come back to the rest of it eventually. Very nice to hear you.
You're very strict about the rest,
very
there,
strict.
Mr. Rafferty.
Yes, very strict.
The score. We have been talking a little this evening about young players, about new music at the Proms. One thing we haven't talked about, one dimension of the Proms we've not yet touched on, is the idea of inspiring new audiences for music through all sorts of stuff this season. Family concerts, literary events, Proms Plus talks. The Proms also encouraging young composers to step into the limelight. And one of the winners of this year's Proms Inspire Young Composers competition was Amy Erin Melbauer. As part of her prize, Amy got to go to a prom where she heard Anna Meredith's brilliant piece, Hands Free. She was so inspired by it that she wrote a poem and sent it through to the Proms poetry competition, and she won that too, in the under-18s section. At yesterday evening's Proms Plus event, Amy's poem was read by the actress Juliet Stevenson.
Silent raindrop strikes the sea. Wind caresses, creating waves. White horses canter across bulging waters, their hooves striking the swells. Gusts of wind rock a boat, its bows creak and clatter. Dolphins shatter the surface, their wake rising and falling, undulating. Wind battles in a resounding cavern. Torrents of rain drench the forest floor. Deer crush the frayed filaments of ferns. Trees fall after a fatal blow. Red Indians surge through the foliage, hollering and dancing rhythmically. The heavens roar and blaze. Water hisses and snakes amidst the leaves. A train cuts brutally through the saplings, cackling manically at their destruction. There is rhythm everywhere.
The Perm Hands Free by 13-year-old Amy Aaron Mulbauer, who won the under-18 section of the Proms Poetry Competition, as well as winning the Young Composers Competition as well. Juliet Stevenson read it, and beautifully as well. Well, we're live at the BBC Proms, need I say. Hum of expectation as people filter back after just a little bit of fresh air and possibly a glass of something at the interval, and we're ready for all sorts of madness and some very good behaviour, I have to say, as well, because the Prommers, who have been here throughout, they've been rattling their buckets, they've been collecting for charities. Lee McLennan is with us wearing his buttonhole, which you provide for the orchestra, and you've very graciously given Susie and I one as well. Mine's a little bit dark, hers is quite rightly peach coloured and delightful.
Thanks, Sean.
Can you tell us what you do with the promenaders first, please, Lee?
Well, at the end of every main prom in the evenings, we have promenaders at all of the exits with big yellow buckets collecting for four musical charities.
So how do you choose the charities? I know Malcolm Sargent Click Fund is one.
Yes, well,
Musicians Benevolent Fund.
That's right, that's two of them. We invite suggestions from promenaders as to musical charities that they'd like us to support. Mm-hmm. And then the trustees of the collection get together and decide which ones, taking into account the thoughts of fellow promenaders, should be supported for the year.
That's right. So do you just hand out the money, or do you actually try to support a specific project?
We support specific projects. With the Musicians Benevolent Fund, our money goes to the Geoffrey Shaw Fund, which provides awards to outstandingly talented instrumentalists of school age. With Click Sargent, we support musical therapy in hospitals in Manchester and Cornwall for children with leukemia and cancer. Our other two charities this year, Music and the Deaf, with them we're supporting the National Youth Deaf Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And the final charity is the Orpheus Centre, and with them we're working on their project, which helps disabled young adults working with professional musicians.
Fantastic.
to a final performance.
So. Wonderful.
Well, one of the things, Lee, that makes all of you guys, all the promenaders, so distinctive and makes these concerts so distinctive is the shout-out. Can you tell us what happens? There's a shout-out every single night of the prom season, and what are you shouting?
Yes, well, just before the end of the interval, when almost everyone is back in, we let everyone know in a traditional fashion that we will be collecting at the end.
Yeah.
And we do give them an update.
And you're very good, you're very coordinated, so there must be rehearsals, I think. Now, we're going to shout out what you've collected so far. Will you let us know? I think we're ready to go, aren't we?
Yes.
Would you like
so.
To raise your hand, Lee? And I think we're ready. Prommers, are you ready? A little bit of silence.
£82,000,
and these people are all doing it voluntarily. They are stalwarts. They queue outside, they stand for every prom, pretty much all of them, and £82,000 will go directly to a lot of very, very good things.
Worth saying, it's not just the promenaders who queue and the season ticket holders who come devotedly to these concerts. It is tonight a party for everybody. As you've said, Sean, celebrations in the parks, Hyde Park, Caerphilly, Wales, Belfast, Glasgow City Halls, but also a host of big screens, 14 locations around the country. And for the very first time, the Proms is in 3D in cinemas across the UK. And the players were joking this morning, the trombonists particularly, they're all going to be lunging towards the cameras to frighten everybody.
They have to have these little glasses, do you think? Little special sort of
you do have
red
to wear your 3D glasses.
Glasses.
But from what I've heard of rehearsals today, it was looking absolutely outstanding. So a really exciting thing for the Proms to be involved in.
Isn't it interesting? It's like Jerzy Bielokławik's last night. I've just spotted Jose Cerebria, a great conductor, sitting here sort of watching. It's very nice to see that other great conductors come to share in the delight there is. Listen, the flags are all out. They're draped everywhere. Susie and I have got our flag guide, but I think we'd be here till midnight if we tried to sort them all out.
Yes.
There are balloons with smiley faces being thrown by the Prommers. And behind the orchestra and behind the choir, there's a wonderful sort of light show which changes with the music. It goes from green to blue to all sorts of different colours. I was supposed to I'm sure some psychologist could sort out what our reaction should be to it.
I'm not sure at all, but all I do know is, I mean, you know, the there's Petro Trelawney.
Petro Trelawney has just taken a photograph of us. We didn't ask him to do that. You're going to hear his voice later.
We can't say why,
but he is going to be making a very important announcement and introducing some very important guests who maybe people here are not quite expecting.
Yes, a brief but significant appearance coming up from Petro. And the bust of Sir Henry looking down rather imperiously from up there with his wreath around him now.
We were going to talk about Sir Henry getting his wreath on earlier, but Jerzy Belklawek launched straight into the music, and so he was garlanded to the sound of trumpets, quite right too.
But yeah, I was going to say, I mean, quite right, the music comes first in the incredible vigour of Jerzy to keep going.
Sir Henry's just visiting. He's responsible, really, for this great festival. But he's just visiting. He goes back to the Royal Academy of Music, I think, after the season is over. But he sits there very benignly. I think he was looking through palm leaves during the proms. He was nearly on stage in Glyndebourne's production of The Marriage of Figaro. But he remains, I think, charmingly... not aloof is not the word I mean. Just unchanging, should I say.
Well, I don't know what he would make of the large blow-up sunflower I can see in the arena and the several bouncing balls. There is a palpable change of atmosphere that happens during the interval of the last night, where everything suddenly gets much warmer in the hall. Everybody gets a little more jolly. You can hear some of the claxons, hooters, various things going off. Everybody's getting a bit rowdy.
A bit rowdy. That's possibly why we have a very loud piece to start the second half. 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. John Williams wrote this. It's all to celebrate heroic achievement, the preparation and the applause afterwards, and it's an Olympic fanfare and theme. Jerzy Belklawek raising the baton. Well, that's a nice rising start to the second half. I sort of feel I was in the Wild West, which was written for Los Angeles, after all.
Well, the unmistakable sound, I think, of John Williams, composer of films like film scores like Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, great sound. And it's music by Dvorak next. We're in a very different feel, but lots of high-energy Czech dance coming up.
it's Carnival, all right. The second of the great trilogy of Dvorak overtures, Nature, Life and Love. And that was certainly life, wasn't it?
Absolutely beautiful playing, I thought, by the orchestra, particularly by the leader, Stephen Bryant. Such a gorgeous tone to the way he plays.
Well, if you wandered into the Royal Albert Hall, you would see it's full of life. And I think Dvorak described that as if a solitary wanderer coming into a city and finding a huge party going on. If a solitary wanderer came in here, they wouldn't know quite what had hit them, but it's certainly party time. So if you've got the flag list, have you discovered any rarities?
Too many to count, I'm afraid.
Yoshi is going off. They're just doing a little bit of rearranging. And Nicola Benedetti's coming back. As promised, she's going to play Shostakovich, very serious composer, but he did work as a cinema pianist. And I think, what, about 36 film scores altogether?
I think the thing is about Soviet composers like Shostakovich is that film was, in a way, your bread and butter. It was the mass media of communication, and music was an essential part of what Soviet-era films were about. And he was a fantastic film composer. I think so much of Shostakovich's purely orchestral works feel very filmic to me.
Yes, don't they? I mean, this is, a tale that's going to chime with the Soviet authorities. Actually, it's based on a novel written by an Irish writer, Ethel Lillian Voynich, who married into Russia. And it's about a real-life hero, I think, Arthur Brinton, helping Italian resistance fighters against the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So I suppose that's very much the proletariat and the worker rising up against the sort of capitalist thugs.
And worth saying that if you don't think Shostakovich is your cup of tea and you find it all a bit too brittle and ironic, the score for The Gadfly is just full of utter seduction. There's some of Shostakovich's most beautiful music, I think, in this score. It's absolutely ravishing, and I'm sure Nicola is going to play it so beautifully.
I know. She's disappeared backstage, terribly cool about it all, and it's not very long, really. It's about 6 minutes, and it's the theme. But you forget, because of all the serious angst that Shostakovich could convey in his symphonies or the string quartets, that he was a wonderful melodist.
Yes, and absolutely in that rich Russian tradition of melody that comes straight out of Tchaikovsky. This is not just a composer who's always looking forward to the machine age and the terrible dark moments of the 20th century. He's also a composer very much who looks backwards towards what was going on in the 19th century, particularly melodically.
Well, there'll be a few flags for Nicola, of course. I'm just looking to see if there's a Scottish saltire around. Certainly plenty of Union flags. I think I've spotted a Scottish flag just yet.
I think what you were saying, actually, it was really interesting, Sean, that this year, more than any other, and I've been to an awful lot of last nights, as have you, there are more numerous and different flags of so many nations here, and I think that's a great testament to what this concert is.
To what this concert is, to the power of music, and to the life-affirming Proms 2012. Oh, she's changed into black. If you're wondering what one of the audience shouted just when Nicola came on, he said, "Great prop," and she gave him a little round of applause.
Not that we should all get too obsessed with the dresses, but no. If you are interested, it's another floor-length gown, another strapless number, this time in black lace.
So we've met two of what Nicola calls her five functioning frocks. We may meet another one, is all I know, before the evening is out. We're into encore territory now, Susie, you know, even before we're finished. This is a bit early for this, but it's commissioned for the gramophone by the Gramophone Company for Enrico Caruso.
And this is a chance for our two star soloists tonight to get together, because Nicola Benedetti will be playing a part, as well as Joseph Calea. Next, we're going to have music by Leon Cavallo. He was born in Naples, and this is meant to be, I suppose, his depiction of first light over the Bay of Naples.
Yeah, if you're from Naples, you've got to write something like this, and it's terribly sentimental. I think we should dedicate this to you, City. Where you are, not sunlight is missing, and where you are, love dawns. So he gets every cliche in.
Oh, Sean, you
as the,
have.
As the sun rises and the sun sets, love will be wobbling around on the horizon. But I think Caruso made this, I suppose, one of his calling cards, one of his encores.
And it sort of has become one of those legendary encores for tenors ever since, really. You've got to do this. It's one of your numbers, your stock in trade, really.
It's one of the numbers, but there's a little bit of extra romance, of course, with Nicola Benedetti, who has gone off stage. There's just a little bit of realignment of the microphones to make sure that, I suppose, both of our star soloists can be properly positioned and balanced. It's very important.
Meanwhile, Jerzy Bialokhlavets podium there, absolutely draped in all sorts of paraphernalia,
yes,
ready for
were.
The second half.
It,
we've got
it
mini
looks like
flags,
a tie, it looks
streamers.
Like a tie sail.
Well, from this distance, it does look rather like a very shiny tie sail. We've got all sorts of streamers, things going off in the hall, as you can hear, people releasing beach balls and balloons. I see people in pith helmets down there. We've got cloth caps in pearly king and queen style, decorated with Union Jacks, Union flags, rather. We've got... Oh, somebody actually dressed as the Queen. I don't know if you've noticed her, Sean, but she's a rather regal-looking lady wearing a crown,
her
draped
madge.
In streamers,
oh, I see her
and sporting a large, full-length Union flag.
Yes, she looks rather like Queen Victoria. I hope she won't mind me saying so, but it's nice to have her with us. Here they come for a little mattinata, available at all hours of the day and night.
It's Nicola Benedetti, Joseph Calea.
Oh, she's got a wonderful sash on. She's got a fabulous sash on. I think she's ready for a night out. triumph. Another first.
I think they enjoyed that, don't you?
I saw Nicola Benedetti moving away slightly as he was hitting the high notes.
I'm not surprised.
You've never heard anyone sing quite so loud. Now, here come a trio of prommers, and they're going to present, I think, Nicola and Joseph and Jerzy, if that might, with a presence.
Well, Michael Heiser is giving Nicola her present. Michael's 55. He came to his first prom in 1976. He reckons he's been to over 600 proms since then. We also have Chris Frapwell presenting to Joseph Kalea and Aziza Parker giving a present to Jerzy Bielokolava.
So Chris, I think, lives in Devon, coming to the proms in 1999. Aziza has retired, living in Wimbledon. She's been promming for about 10 years. I think this is the great thing, that people, once they start promming, they love it. Here are Joseph and Nicola walking across to bow separately to the different parts of this great audience. I think they spotted some people they know in the crowd.
I'm not quite sure whether Joseph Kalea has brought a camera on stage. He's brought something. He's got his present in his hand, but I saw something, a little flash of something.
I think it's I think they have wrapped their presents in very glittery paper. That's a very nice touch. I didn't think I've ever seen anyone do that before, is to bow not just to the body of the hall, but specifically to the different portions thereof. Oh, well, I think Nicola gets to rest now for a moment, but Joseph's coming back. I'm sure people are terribly excited listening to him and seeing him. We have another three wise people coming onto the stage, but they're not bearing gifts for anyone. I think they're BBC geniuses who've got to move microphones around, because this is quite complicated. If you've got the orchestra on stage, sometimes they change and soloists go on, they go off. The microphones have got to be moved so that the right place is... right places where they'll stand.
And, you know, a little moment to pay testament to the vast numbers of people who work behind the scenes in television, in radio, online, in the proms office itself. A vast machine of people who have to make these 76 concerts happen.
And the people who are on the stage
at the moment absolutely are aware of the fact that, as Nicola Benedetti said earlier, this is a party, it's also a serious concert, and their job is to absolutely make sure it's captured as gloriously as possible without holding anyone up. It's a huge pressure for all of them.
It is, and I see a lot of familiar faces, so Susie and I would both see back in the studio at In Tune, and their consummate professionalism cannot be overestimated. You know, people who come in to play live in the studio are, I think, always astounded by how quickly they can sort things out. They've got a very, very beautiful balance, and they're technically wonderful, but they are artists, actually, as
Yes,
well.
And
they
all
really
passionate
are.
Music fans as well, so great to be able to work with that kind of calibre of people throughout this season
it's
and every
like
prom
ourselves.
Season.
It's nice to see them smartened up. Here comes Mr. Kalea. He's going to sing what apparently is the second most performed song in the world. It was written by a Mexican, all about Granada, that wonderful place in Spain. He'd never been there. 20 years later he came and he said, oh, it is all true, just as I wrote it.
Vento de boca de grana Donada, malora, cantada, en coplas preciosas. No tengo otra cosa que darte que un ramo de rosas. De rosas de suave fragrancia que le dieran marco a la Granada, tu tierra está llena de lindas mujeres, de sangre y de sol.
Granada by Lara, sung by Joseph Calleja.
That is just an absolutely fantastic piece of colour and sunshine and fun, and he obviously adored every minute of singing that.
We're going to the park shortly, I think. Let us not forget about all the places around the country. We may not hear them on the radio, but they are there, and I think Yoshi is going to invite them to join us here at the Royal Albert Hall, this great musical family coming together.
And they've had fantastic audiences at all of the parks today, and for a change, rather decent weather. So we think none of them have been rained off, and everybody hopefully is having a marvellous time. But
I hope you all
thousands
are.
Thousands of people across the UK at outdoor events and big screen locations all over the place.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, here in the Royal Albert Hall. Good evening, everyone in around the UK who is listening and watching at on TV or radio or online. And also, for the first time this year, the three-dimensional 3D transmission in the parks. So, everybody. And special greetings to the audiences on in the four proms in park venues around the UK. This is these are the people who are gathered in Belfast, those in Caerphilly, in Glasgow, and in Hyde Park, just across the road. And now there is a time for you all to sing along, wherever you are. At the last night of the proms, we are creating always the biggest choir in the world. And we are now going to start with the Rodgers Hammerstein classic, You'll Never Walk Alone. And Mr. Kaleja will lead us in our singing. So make sure we really sing well for him.
You gotta help me.
You're too young to remember Jerry the Pacemakers without the hit in 1963, Susie. Sung at Anfield at Liverpool ever since. It's become just an incredible anthem for everybody. I think it's now become a proms anthem.
It has become one of those new proms traditions. And again, this is a concert, even the last night, that reinvigorates itself not only with new music but old classics. I love the fact that, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein do Oklahoma. Where do you go to next? You do Carousel and you write something like that. It's the most incredible 20th century classic, I think, and it's a fantastic piece to sing, which is why people sing it in football grounds all over the place and in crowds like this.
And everybody singing their hearts out here in the Albert Hall, and the great thing is you just really feel connected with everybody in these islands as we imagine everyone just singing right around the country. Not too long, not too taxing for the voice, because they've got to save themselves one or two other things as well.
I don't know, I think I was straining there already on the high notes, but you know, I'll hold a bit back in reserve.
I hope nobody was listening. I went down an octave, I'm afraid, just to be on the safe side. Anyway, that's what happens late at night. We're going to with the Fantasia and British Sea Songs. Henry Wood, the great maestro who thought all this up. Joseph Kaleja will be back for that. And arranged, I think, for soloist and orchestra by Sir Malcolm Sargent, who was such a figure at the proms here. They're wonderful pictures of him everywhere. Marvellous picture on the programme, his hair slicked back and his perfect carnation. He was called Flash Harry.
Well, talking of new Proms traditions like carousel, this is one of the absolute stalwarts of the last night. The Proms, this is one of those pieces that you hear and means has a huge amount of resonance for this concert series and for this festival, because it is a real party and a sense of joint celebration tonight.
Well, the manager of the Queen's Hall, apparently, Robert Newman, for the Nelson Centenary in 1905, suggested this. And at the very first performance, there were flags, so we're right in the line of tradition. But they were in semaphore, and apparently they read, "England expects every man will do his duty." So maybe we should reinstate that and say the Proms expect every man and woman will do their duty and sing when it's necessary.
I have no idea how many flags or how complex the semaphore would be.
I think
for that
might
perhaps
be tricky.
An idea
I'll leave that to you to organise. I think you'd do it beautifully.
Lots of
ooing and range balloon,
I think.
Yes. It's got a direct hit on the camera in the middle, that sort of smiling balloon.
Yes, there seems to be rather
You know all these songs, Susie. I mean, I know the Saucy Arethusa is one of your favourites, isn't it? I think. Tom Bowling's An Elegy. The Hornpipe, of course. Home Sweet Home. Which was put by Donizetti and Anna Bolena. It was so popular. See the Conquering Hero Comes, and from Alfred by Thomas Arne, Rule Britannia. That's the real one. That's what everybody's waiting for.
And this is Jerzy Bieloklawek's last stab at a last night, his third last night of the Proms, in this, his final concert as chief conductor of tonight's orchestra, the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
I think you are too easy satisfied. It was... it sounded like first rehearsal. So, one more time. That was really like a first rehearsal. Sorry, I forgot.
Thank you.
That was wonderful, that was great, you are in very good voices. And but I still think that we need one another go, but I think we need some help. Let's listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate that this summer Britannia really has ruled the waves, the BBC Proms welcomes to the stage some of the gold and silver medal winners in the Olympic water sports events. From Team GB and Paralympics GB, please welcome Alex Gregory, Tom James, Pete Reed, Zach Purchase, Naomi Riches, Pam Relf, David Smith, James Rowe, and Lily Vandenbrucker. We'll be right back.
Ooh. Wow, what a surprise was that. How extraordinary. All those gold and silver medals glinting on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall.
That is an incredibly moving moment. To see these incredible athletes who have captivated and captured our imaginations the whole of this summer, and to feel that that has been brought together with this incredible tradition of the proms and the last night in particular, and to see them here in front of the adoring public, they all look rather taken aback, actually.
Well, I'm not
the
surprised. The sound is incredible in this hall. And there we are. You know, music brings together everything. This has been a great summer of celebration. And here she is going to speak to us. Traditional.
I think...
Well, of course.
I think that was a real wonderful surprise. And... and it made this wonderful evening even more special. I would like to start by saying thank you and congratulations to all artists who contributed to this marvelous festival. And thank you. And let's give a special round of applause for tonight's performers, our soloists Nicola Benedetti and Joseph Kalecki. BBC Symphony Chorus. And BBC Symphony Orchestra. And next, I would like to thank all of you. As so many of the artists have said already, you are really the greatest audience in the world. Your sensitivity, your attentive listening, and your passion for music, and not to speaking about the wonderful humor, these are the qualities which give the meaning to our performance. And I would like to give a particular thanks to the promers, not only for coming to all the concerts, but also for collecting large amounts of money to support musical charities. Thank you very much. So as we see the Sir Henry Wood's idea to bring music to most broad audience is alive and very well. So let's give some cheers to Sir Henry Wood. So hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip. I think that this summer in London has proved an excellent example of the Greek idea of kalokagathia, the balanced attention to the body and the spirit. The cultivation of the human body and the limits it strives to reach were sensationally represented by this year's Olympics Games. The attention to the spirit was provided by the Cultural Olympiad, amongst which the proms is a shining star. And I am very happy to be part of this most important music festival in the world.
When I was preparing myself for tonight's performance, it occurred to me that sadly this will mark a double valediction for me. And that's because it is my last concert in my capacity of chief conductor of BBC Symphony Orchestra. And that also means that I say farewell to London, where I have been sort of resident for past 6 years. My deepest gratitude goes to the members of the orchestra for their great musicality and enthusiasm, and for the warm, friendly atmosphere that we have created together. It was a real delight to make music with you. As you all know, I am a Czech citizen, and so I was delighted to be awarded an honorary CBE earlier this year by Her Majesty the Queen. If you will forgive me, I won't take this moment to share my deep pride in the honor. So I have it here. And now let me end with the invitation for the 2013 year proms, BBC proms. The BBC Symphony Orchestra and Chorus will be back here on Friday, 12th July 2013, to open the 119th prom season. I hope you will be here. Thank you. Thank you. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. You are wonderful. I think it would be pity to finish so early. One more time. No? No.
I think this is all we're going to get. We've had a reprise of Land of Hope and Glory. Goodness knows what usually the McLavock might do, but we're heading for Jerusalem, aren't we? I think. Harry.
Jerusalem here at the last night of the proms. Next. the national anthem this evening?
That was the original women's hymns. People think it's very nationalistic, but there was the women's movement. Quite something. Just up a fifth. Did you manage to go up a fifth, Susie?
I didn't. I'm so overawed by the beauty of that arrangement every time I hear it.
It's marvellous. Benjamin Britten for the 1961 Leeds Festival, and then it was used for the opening of Snape in 1967, and the Queen who opened Snape apparently was incredibly touched, and she said, "I'd be very moved by that, and I have heard it a few times."
And the silence that descended on the hall at that moment. It's complete opposite now as everybody violently erupts into applause. Everybody's still on their feet.
And it was an immensely touching moment, as you said, quietitude before. Yeji just put his fingers to his lips for a little moment silence, and he absolutely got it.
And it says a lot for the affection of this orchestra and of the British public more generally that there was real heartfelt gratitude and reciprocal warmth and thanks back to him.
Yeah. And I love him wearing his order, his commander of the British Empire.
Yes, he not only fumbled around in his pocket and found it,
he then put it on and he looks very well in it. And I hope he'll be wearing it at the opening of the season of the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra next month in Prague.
Sean, I have been asking everybody on Twitter what their highlights of the season have been. We've had masses of people. In a tiny nutshell, your one highlight.
Gosh, that's difficult. I mean, I've just been the Vienna Philharmonic the last two nights, who just had some sublime moments. I think one of the highlights for me was the Bach B minor Mass of the English Concert, which was a small number of people that drew this huge hall in to the beauty of Bach's music. I mean, simply overwhelming, overwhelming.
I have to say, for me, lots of wonderful vocal music this season. I mean, incredible opera, Pelléas and Mélisande right at the beginning of the season. Peter Grimes, the ENO production, Stuart Skelton was mind-bogglingly good. The Macmillan Credo, that new music here at Proms, again, a wonderful piece. I've just, I mean, and then at the Tokyo Opera, Edward the Spectre and the John Wilson proms.
Well, I mean, that has become, that's another tradition. John Williams is a genius, of course. John Wilson is a genius, and he sort of mines the popular music for absolute delights. But we haven't quite finished yet. We will be saying goodbye in a moment. Oh, they've started it. So I think that's time for us to hold hands and say goodnight, Susie, isn't it?
That is.
It's Auld Lang Syne, maybe associated with New Year. It's associated with the end of the proms. Wherever you are at home, hold someone's hand and sing Auld Lang Syne. It's been great to be with you.
That's it for the proms from this year. Back next July. For both of us,
then.
Good night.
Good night.
And, of course, our thanks to the presenters of the last night of the proms at the Royal Albert Hall, Sean Rafferty and Susie Klein. Every last night of the proms is special, of course. Some are maybe more special than others. I think that's true of this year. Well, that's it for our live coverage of the proms this summer here on BBC Radio 3. But this coming week, we turn our attention to another of the UK's most important festivals.
The world's greatest classical music in performance all year round on BBC Radio 3. We're at the 2012 Edinburgh International Festival. Three evening concerts, including on Tuesday night, the great American pianist Garrick Ohlsson playing Busoni's rarely heard but lavishly scored piano concerto. Radio 3 at the Edinburgh Festival, Tuesday night at 7:30.
Well, next, this Saturday evening on BBC Radio 3, our programme of contemporary music here and now with Zoe Martlew. That's at 11 o'clock. It's followed at midnight by Geoffrey Smith's Jazz. And then it's Susan Sharp's turn to take us through the night with music by Britain to begin at 1 o'clock. So before, here and now at 11 o'clock, some more choral music. This is by Gustav Holst.
Thank you.
3 of a set of 7-part songs by Gustav Holst for female voices and strings, setting words by the poet laureate Robert Bridges and dedicated to the Liverpool Bach Choir. Say Who Is This? Of Love I Complain and Angel Spirits of Sleep. Hilary Daven-Wetton was conducting the Holst Singers and the Holst Orchestra. And I should tell you that Alec Jones is back with the choir tomorrow on Radio 3 at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, just before Here and Now, Donald MacLeod tells us about his new Composer of the Week.
I'll be exploring the legacy of the first black composer to make an impact.